Do you want first access to the best opportunities? You want to future-proof your career against the rapid, uncontrollable changes that are happening all around us? It's time to think about the Forge. Greatness doesn't come from following the rules. CEOs, innovators, creators don't worry about permission or the right way. Instead, they embody courage, certainty, and vision, the opposite of the stuff that they teach you in school and they teach in all your Scrum Master classes. To become the kind of person that this world desperately needs is the definition of greatness and the definition of freedom. To find out more, go to badassagile.com. It could be the case that you have a process addiction. Now, that's going to limit what you're able to do as a coach and as a leader. That's this week on the Badass Agile Podcast. Greetings, team. Welcome to the Badass Agile Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Williams. My friend, welcome back. I'm happy you're here, and thank you for being a loyal listener. There's a couple of signs that you might be too addicted to process. I want to show you why that matters and what to do about it, but first let's take a moment to remember why we're here. To create an elite tribe of leaders who truly serve their clients and communities by doing what matters and what works, relentlessly chasing value and excellence like a badass. There's so many resources out there about what you need to do to be agile, but we focus on who you need to become in order to lead teams. So let's hammer down those fundamentals to create a truly unique and powerful force in this industry. And remember, if this helps you, share this episode with your friends. Humans love to classify things. They like to define them. They want to put them into a box. Think about how we classify living things, all the different species and subspecies that we've noted and described. We do this. We classify or chunk information so that it's manageable. If we can put it into a box and define its properties, we have an easier time reacting to it, dealing with it. Now notice this, when we build things, like programming languages, we model and exhibit that desire to classify. I don't know how many of you remember C++, but we created the idea of template and instance. You could define a class of object and then define subclasses that inherited those properties or added more of their own. If you remember Novell NetWare and its directory services, it did the same thing. You could create a class of user and subclass of user object that did or did not inherit attributes from the parent. And when you created an instance of the template object, most of the properties and behaviors of your object had already been coded. You declare the instance and it could start bumping around in its natural habitat. All this is great. It helps us contain and manage and understand things. But what happens if we do it too much? When we put people and things and behaviors in boxes, we get lazy. We limit and constrain our understanding of the things around us, the people, the world. And pretty soon, all we see is the box. We're unable to think outside of it, and we end up missing the nuance, the spirit of, the uniqueness of a person, an object, a company, a customer, or an initiative. Remember, Agile, Scrum, Kanban, they're not things. They're inventions. They're ways to help make sense of the world. They're simple rules and rails that elicit the behavior that we think help get stuff done better. Follow the rules, and the right behaviors will automatically activate. But think about this. Our classifications are often dead wrong. How we classify things is based on what we can see, what's observable. But if there are attributes or instances of a bird, let's say, that we can't see, we've never encountered it before, we might classify it incorrectly. Only through experience do classifications become more accurate. But keep this in mind. We handled ourselves quite well before classifications existed. Processes and boundaries are codifications of what is. And they're a luxury of the human intellect. The process and the definition itself doesn't make success. They simply try to understand it so that we can hopefully repeat it. But this creates a tendency to think that there's a defined or definite way of getting results. So an organization thinks that the best way to work with technology is to put an ad out for a Scrum Master who ticks certain boxes in terms of experience, certification, or approach, the things that we believe meet the classification. And we stick them in any old room that also contains developers, and we start following the recipe. When our classification and codification causes us to create rules, frameworks, processes, we create a certain fixity of thinking, understanding, and doing that causes almost all of the mayhem that we experience at work and in our culture. Here's how to know if you have a process addiction. Three things. If you're of the opinion that if it's not in your Bible, whether that's your Scrum Bible or any other reference, then you don't do it. If it is, then you do. That kind of binary thinking that there is a singular right or wrong way to do anything is dangerous. The Scrum Guide may contain helpful recommendations, maybe even best practices, a starting set of rules. But you know what? I tend to think of Scrum and Agile as more like cooking and less like baking. In baking, the temperature of the butter matters because you're trying to elicit a certain chemical reaction that does something texturally. But in cooking, what we're looking for is a unique, inspired combination of flavors. So yes, there's foundations. As an example, I actually went to cooking school at one point early in my career, and the first thing they teach you is how to deal with soups and stocks. Great stock begins with well-roasted, high-quality bones. And there's rules for how long you put them in the oven for, at what temperature, and what you coat them with before you put it in. And after that, you go for what I remember one of my teachers called flavor builders, which is a mixture of carrots, celery, and onion. And there's certain proportions that are considered favorable. But for every single one of those rules I just mentioned, you can break them. You can make a stock without any animal bones whatsoever. If you want a deep, colorful stock, you're going to roast the vegetables too. But if you don't, then you just put the vegetables in raw. And who says it has to be celery, carrot, and onion? What about green peppers? And the variations go on, and no substitution, no experiment will fully break the resulting product. But too much sugar or salt in a starter dough, and you got trouble that you can't fix. You might have to throw the whole thing away. So be careful with the rules and the how-tos, especially if that forces you into one-way thinking. You can only do it this way. This is right. This is wrong. The next sign that you have a process addiction is being obsessed with knowing how to. When you go on LinkedIn or you go into the groups, all people want to talk about is how do I do X? When you focus on the how to, then the only way to get better at your craft is to endlessly study and read and somehow resolve the fact that over here we have one group that says how to is X, but over here, how to is the complete opposite of X. How do we resolve those things? How do we make sense of that? Now, here's the thing. The industry is all too happy to help you. They could sell you more books. You can create more meetups. You can buy more courses. But my experience teaches me that when you focus on the philosophy, the foundations, like we just discussed, and then allow yourself the room to experiment and to let go of the idea that there's one way to do it right, then things will really start to flow for you. Now, I know that this is the most common pull of most of the Agile practitioners that I meet. Anytime I go into a forum or go to a meetup, people always ask the same questions. How do I get dot, dot, dot? How do I convince dot, dot, dot? What's the best way to dot, dot, dot? And those questions almost always revolve around tools or process. But if you look closely, you'll realize that all of this process, when you encounter trouble with it, when it doesn't work the way you think it should, it's because of people. Your ability to navigate people, different opinions, different backgrounds, different histories, different fears, different desires, it's only then that you as a coach or a leader can really help those people thrive and perform well. Now, here's the thing. It makes perfect sense to say, okay, Agile Scrum is more like cooking. There's foundational rules, but then we have the ability to flex or adapt those rules. Okay, awesome. What that causes many people to do is take the process, the flowchart, the defined stepwise and rule-based way of understanding the flow of work, and they modify it. Okay, so we have the basic process, but it doesn't quite work for my team. My team has 13 people, not 12. So here's what I need to change and do in order to make it fit. So they start amending and creating addendum to the process. And before you know it, we're creating a process guide that is meant to handle every single possible permutation of team, technology, people, personalities, organization, market, and so on. So now you have a 1900-page book on how to master agility. That's just goofy. And it's mind-blowing to me because one of the core tenets of agility is that the documentation isn't the thing. It's not about analyzing the process to the nth degree, but rather embracing the philosophies and saying, what will work to move us closer to that desirable outcome, the delivery of value? Knowing that this company is different from the last one I worked for, that these people are different than the last group that I worked with. Now, let me give you one bonus symptom, that you have a process addiction. We talked before about right and wrong, binary thinking. If you find yourself going down the slippery slope of holy wars around your sense of rightness versus somebody else's, like somebody has a different experience and therefore opinion of how to do things well, you get all butthurt and offended, your fur stands up, and you can't dismiss the temptation to go onto YouTube or go onto LinkedIn or go onto TikTok or whatever and tell people about how right you are and how wrong they are. Imagine the damage that that causes, all from the need to classify and codify the rules of the game. There are no rules of the game. Agile and Scrum is of human invention. There's no mystery here. It's so simple, it can be explained in about 20 minutes. What is elusive and unknown and unpredictable are the people who make the process happen. The people who use that process to go and deliver valuable things. If you want to study, go study there. How do we motivate? How do we inspire? How do we connect? How do we become fearless, courageous? Now, there's no sense arguing this. Those who love empiricism will say the facts don't lie. Here's the truth. Scrum and Agile are largely messed up right now because we insist on boxes and boundaries. Now, here's the simple fix. It's easy. Use the words what if. So the moment someone tells you this is the right way to do it, you ask, what if it wasn't? What if there was another way? When someone says this is broken because, you can say, what if? That's not the real reason. When someone says that won't work, you can ask, what if it did? Why not? This simple change alone can help you break free of the process and rule addiction. When people start talking about what is the role of a Scrum Master or Product Owner, you can say, who cares? Philosophically, it should be to do X, to deliver X, to bring about X, but to define their hourly comings and goings is probably a mistake. Too much classification, too much codification, too much rule worshiping makes you average. To be great, to be free, you have to be able to transcend those rules and processes and think instead in terms of core principles, the fundamentals, the parts of the system that always work. Best place to find those, in my opinion, is the 12 Agile Principles. But you can look beyond that to the core principles of other frameworks of understanding or processes from the past, and you'll start to see what the common threads are. That's the study of agility. That's the study of Scrum. And if you can do those things, you can bring about better outcomes. You can bring about more value. You can bring about more value in less time, by the way, without even mentioning Agile or Scrum, and completely free yourself from attachment to processes, rules, tools, technologies, and so on. Now, you need this skill because things are changing so rapidly, my friends, that pretty soon, your processes, your rules, your tools, your technologies may become obsolete. They'll be replaced with something later and greater. And then what will you do? If we discard agility and you're so attached to the rules of Agile, to the rules of Scrum, what will you do if we eject it from the building? You start from the ground, learn something completely new, go back to school? No. You take the core principles, the foundational stuff, the bones and the flavor builders, and you simply make a new batch. My friends, I hope you enjoyed this one. As always, you can reach out at badassagile.com. And if you think you're one of those folks that defies convention, that breaks the rules, then you're going to want to know what's happening next in the world of agility and how you can leverage them by breaking your attachment to the software development industry, to Agile and Scrum's legacy and its codependence on technology, and you can become bigger, do more, be different, go and explore places where nobody else is exploring, and you have no competition. Check out my free guide to the future of Agile. The links are in the show notes below. Have a great week, my friends. Until next time, stay badass.